Welcome to the Closeted Soul Podcast. I'm your host, Shalee. This podcast is all about exploring the depths of your soul. We dive deep into spiritual concepts and tools that we can utilize in the physical world to really navigate life. So join me and so many others on this insane journey of self-discovery, and let's learn and grow in both the spiritual and physical world together. Hello to all my fellow weirdos out there who are just as much obsessed with the spiritual world as I am. Welcome to or welcome back to the Closeted Soul Podcast. It is a pleasure to have you here. So for this week's episode, I have had the pleasure of interviewing Emily. Now, I don't even want to call these an interview because it's not, I don't want the podcast to be like that anymore. It's not an interview. It's really just a conversation, and it's really just like nerding out on the spiritual world. And that's literally what I've been doing for like the last 3 months, and strengthening my psychic abilities and stepping into like my soul work, doing these readings and healings on people. So I love this. I love geeking out on this world. You know, these conversations aren't, not everyone wants to have these conversations. So to be able to have this platform where we could just openly talk with no judgment, and just to be like, you know, sharing our own tips and personal learnings through our journey, it's just so, so, so beautiful and so wholesome. And it's really, really like what I love doing the most. So I'm so excited to bring this to you guys, to bring this conversation. Emily is a beautiful intuitive that I met through the Soul Teacher course. Once again, she is a fellow soul sister of mine. We have had pretty cool past life stories together. I think we actually share it in the podcast, so you'll hear it there. But she is an insane intuitive. She practices the art of intuitive reading and energy healing. She's so incredibly talented. I trust her intuition so, so, so much. And she actually has been doing this work for a long time. So she started out doing tarot card readings. So since 2010. So she's incredible. And yeah, she's just really, really passionate about strengthening her psychic abilities and all of that. So it's just so beautiful to kind of have seen her evolve through this short time, but she really has been doing this work for such a long time. So it's just so, so, so inspiring to talk to her and to learn from her. And what's so exciting about this is we actually did a card pull, which is really exciting. So she does a little card reading for you guys through this episode. It's the first card pull on the podcast. So very exciting. Think about a question that you want to ask. You know, what maybe, even if you don't want to ask a question, if you just want to be a part of the card pool, you could do that. It could be a message that you need to receive. And then you could see what area of life that really resonates in. It is a general reading as well. So you have to keep an open mind with these card pools. But I remember, because I was doing it live with her at the time, I was like, fuck, this resonates so deeply. I think I chose like group two or something like that. But yeah, it was so, so, so cool. So yeah, I love doing that with you guys. And I think that's all. I think I'll stop talking now and let play the podcast interview chat. I don't want to call it interview chat. It was a chat. As always, if you enjoy the episode, please don't forget to give it a rate and review in iTunes. It will mean the world to me. And if you enjoyed the episode and you wanted to connect to Emily and I, everything is listed in the description below. So you can definitely find all that information there. But Instagram is where we are most active. So you can definitely tag us in your stories if you feel called to share this episode. But yeah, without further ado, let's welcome Emily to the podcast. Hi, Emily, and welcome to the Closeted Soul Podcast. Thank you so much for being here today.
Hello, Shuli. Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
Just for the listeners' reference, Emily and I met through the Soul Teacher course that I was talking about that I did that literally changed my life. And we've been on this insane journey together of like learning how to do readings on people and healings and healing each other and going on these insane adventures in the Akashic records. It's just been so much fun. And excitingly, I felt really connected to Emily when we first joined in on the group. We did this like collective meditation on the very first session. And I literally, like, I've never met Emily in my life, but I could see her in like pixie form. right next to me in that meditation. And I was like, wow, this girl, I've got to meet her. There has to be a story there. Like, why was she with me in that?
No, it was such an amazing experience. And as soon as I saw you like in the class, I felt like an instant connection to you. I just liked the way you looked. I liked the way your energy felt. I liked your voice. I know that's creepy. I don't mean it to be. But no, it's been such an amazing experience. I genuinely think it was like, I mean, not to sound cheesy, but it was like divine intervention. Like we were like brought together, like meant to meet each other. And it's just been incredible.
It's so, so, so incredible. I really like it's crazy because Emily and I went on a past life, like we did past life regressions together, but we did them separately to see kind of what we would get up because we knew that we knew each other in a past life before, right? And it was so funny because she saw us as mother and daughter and I was her daughter. She was my mom, but she was a single mom. And she described this scene and I was like, Emily, like that was my relationship with my mom, my actual mom in this life. Like we would go op shopping together and like Emily was literally describing like the day, a day in the life of me and my mom in this life when my mom was a single mom and it was just her and I. It was just crazy. I was like, oh my God, mind blown.
No, that was such an amazing experience for me. And then like the fact that you had said that you resonated with that in this lifetime, that's where I got the idea that must be what you bring to the mother-daughter relationships like in your lifetimes. Like you just have that energy. And just to go into a little bit more detail about it, I had taken her thrift shopping as my daughter and she was trying on all these funky dresses and clothes. It was so much fun. And it was just like, she was this free spirited, like little like wild child. And I was like the funky mom, like funky single mom with the boyfriend. But it was so much fun. It was like such an amazing connection to see with you. And then to have that validated, like I didn't know anything about you and your mom's life together until after that. And it was just amazing, like how alike they were and like just all the synchronicities. It was incredible.
I know. It freaked me out. And like we have dived deep into this work, right? And it still amazes me. It really, really does. It freaks me out how accurate this stuff is. It's just, it's so, so, so insane. Before we dive deeper, sorry, I wanted to get into that because it was such a cool experience with you. But introduce yourself to the listeners. Tell them who you are. What do you do?
Well, hi, guys. My name is Emily. I do practice in the art of intuitive reading and energetic healings. I've been doing some form of readings since about 2010. And I used to specialize in tarot cards. But over time and in this past soul teacher class, like my methods have evolved so much. I don't really use tarot cards anymore simply because I don't need them. But they are a lot of fun to use. I still love my cards and incorporating them into my readings. I do a lot of readings. Readings are my specialty. People come to me for my readings. But with my energetic healings, I've had some pretty amazing feedback on those. And it's such just amazing and unique experiences to do the healings on people and just see like all the different, you know, traumas and like deep emotions that they've gone through in their lifetime because their experiences and being able to share that connection with them. And then not only that, but being able to like release that energy is so magical. It's so magical. But yes, I am a reader and an artist as well. I do make art.
Yeah. Oh my God. She's an amazing artist. And even her readings, guys, if you ever book in a reading with Emily, which I highly recommend, I've had many from her and I'm like her imagination and it's like the way that your mind works, Emily, it's like you just go on this journey. And then when she delivers that reading to you, you're just like, wow, it's like entering a fairy tale with the way that she reads people. It's so vivid and it's just so symbolist. Like she has so many symbolism things. Like it's crazy. And I love listening to the readings back. Like I love when she reads and then she tells me like what she saw and like the journey that she went on because it's such a incredible experience. Before we dive deeper into that, because I actually, in this episode, I thought it would be really cool to like dive into what a clarity reading actually is, because I think people don't really know what it looks like. And I think people like think it's going to be like going to see a psychic, you know, predicting the future. And it's very, very different from that. So I thought that would be interesting to dive into with you because you're incredible at reading people. But before we do that, I asked all my guests on the Closeted Soul podcast, when did you first come out of the spiritual closet?
Oh, that is such a good question. Okay, so I guess that would probably be along the lines of my first spiritual awakening, because that's when I got into readings. So that was back in 2010, and I had just gotten... Okay, so that was a rough year for me, as most spiritual awakenings are. But back in 2010, I had gone through a breakup with a guy I was dating in high school. It was like an on and off thing. He was my first true love. And of course, in my mind, the love of my life, and we were going to eventually get married and someday. Obviously, that did not work out. But when we broke up, I went into a really bad depression, and it wasn't really just because of him. There was like a lot of stuff going on at home. And it was just kind of everything building up. And that was like the catalyst that kind of set me off. And so when we broke up for good, I, kind of went a little bit crazy. I ran away from home. You know, I got involved with some guys that at the time were like losers, no offense to them, but you know, we were all being kind of losers at the time. And I was just like sleeping on random couches with people who would offer me a place to stay until I wound up on the doorstep of a good friend of mine. And she took me in and she really introduced me into the spiritual world. She read auras and she got me involved in angel cards at first and then runes. So at the time, you know, I felt like I had hit rock bottom and I was looking for hope. I was looking for just some kind of guiding light. And when I got to know that spiritual side of myself and especially developing that connection with angel cards, was when I really went down the spiritual path. And I started practicing my readings. Of course, I sucked at first, but I had many friends that were very patient and like, let me experiment on them. But over time, I just began to, you know, announced to people that I did readings. Like, that's just what I did. I would carry my cards with me and a little bag to work. And I would do reading on my coworkers. Some of them were like really freaked out. Some of them really loved it, but it was just, it was so important to me because that was kind of like my safe zone, you know, like in that period of my life, that was what gave me hope and light. So sharing that part of myself was actually pretty comfortable for me just because I felt so comfortable with it, you know? But yeah, that was probably back 2010, been like 11 years. Wow. Oh my gosh. That's insane.
So you did 11 years, but then you also worked corporate, right? Which I find so funny because I can't even imagine you in corporate. Like if you met Emily, she's just so like creative and like a free spirit. So just the fact that you were in a corporate position, I'm like, what?
You know, it is really funny. And now that I've had the chance to kind of like reflect back on myself, I see why I took that route. Because doing my readings and my spiritual connection was very personal to me, but like the readings was more of like a hobby. Like I never thought I would be able to market it or make it a business or anything like that. But yeah, so I went down the straight and narrow path. I got a job, got a better job, and kept climbing the ladder until I got into some really good corporate positions. And, you know, the whole time just kind of looking back and remembering who I was in those periods of my life, I had such a stick up my butt, man. Like I was so anal and I was so like, I was like a control freak. I did management, ironically, at a hippie store. It was a store called Earthbound Trading Company at Katie Mills Mall. And we sold like incense and the harem pants and like all the hippie stuff and the crystals. But because I was the manager and like my job was to make the money and make the sales, like it completely took the magic like out of the place for me. And I was very micromanagey, like very attentive. And I had this kind of like this like power, what's the, like power high because of my title, you know, and that continued to follow me throughout the different jobs I took in corporate positions. But when I got to insurance and I worked there for 6 years and I had people talk to me like I was the scum of the earth, I was like, you know what? I can't take this anymore. Like my heart is like begging me to go somewhere else. And that's when I really was like, this is crazy, but like, I'm diving deep into this work, this spiritual work, because this is where I'm being pulled. And it sounds insane, but I have to do this. Like, I have to do this from my heart, because I am not that person. Like, I'm not that stick up my butt, like straight and narrow. I am so unconfrontational, and I had to fire people. Like, can you imagine, like, me, my socially anxious self, trying to fire people? It was just not a fit for me.
Yeah, no.
But honestly, I think I did that, you know. Oh, sorry. Yeah, I just feel like I had something to prove to the world. You know, like, I felt like people had looked at me as the free spirit, as the hippie chick, as the artist who couldn't be taken seriously. And I felt like I had something to prove to those people. Like, yeah, I can do it. Look at me in my management position, making all this money, having a house and all this stuff. And then I looked back on that, like, that doesn't make me happy. None of that makes me feel fulfilled at all. And why do I care what any of y'all think about me? Like, who am I? Why do I have to prove anything to you? And that's when I really was like, you know what? I'm claiming myself back. Like,
yeah,
I'm living for me.
I literally have goosebumps listening to you say that, because I feel that so deeply. I love your story. Thank you for sharing that, because it's true. You end up going down this path that society has paved for us, right? Since we go to school, we're told you have to go to school, you have to get that good job, you have to have this reputable position in order to be taken seriously in society. And then living your life that way, like, literally sends you into depression. And it just, living your life in when you're not aligned, it's literally soul crushing. And there's just no way you can go forward like that anymore. It's either like, I don't want to be here anymore, or I'm going to have to start doing the things that I want to do. So I completely get that point that you got to. And I guess, like, you would have had to go on that journey to see that that's not what you wanted and that wasn't you. And you know what I also love? Like, just listening to you speak, this is why I love people who are consciously, like, doing the work, right? I love it because you, like, we can look at ourselves and be like, shit, like, we had this quality and this is shit. I don't like this about myself. Rather than looking at the world around us and saying, you guys are shit, and not taking blame or responsibility over your own self. And that's why I really love this work, because I'm like, wait, we can literally change our lives based on our own perspectives, based on the way that we feel. But when you look at people who maybe aren't so aware or self-aware of themselves, they, and this was me, guys, this was totally me. I was like the world's most negative person. And I would look at my external environment and blame everyone else for my situation. I would blame my mum for my upbringing, or I would blame my mum for the choices that I would make as an adult. I would blame my partner for the choices that I made as an adult, if it didn't fulfill me or if it didn't feel right. I literally put blame on everyone else besides myself. And it wasn't until I started to say, wait, shit, actually, I'm a negative person. This is my shitty view. I'm doing this to myself. When I could actually take that responsibility on, that's when shit really started to change. That's when my life started to change.
Mm-hmm. No, I completely agree with that, because you have to see the limiting beliefs within yourself and you have to be brave enough to face them. That's the most important thing. You know, so many people don't even recognize that when they're pointing fingers at others, that the reason they're pointing fingers is because they resonate with that feeling. They resonate with that negative feeling because they have it within themselves. But they're so, I think, blinded by an unconscious fear of facing that within themselves, that instead of actually looking at themselves and saying, well, you know what, like, I have done that and I've been in their shoes and I know what that feels like. And you know, I have been an angry, negative, depressed, bitter person. Like, I have been hateful. People, they put out this wall, because it is a hard journey to self-reflect. It is a hard journey to face those feelings within yourself and break them down and release them and experience, like, why you actually feel that way, or why this is a thought pattern that's been ingrained in your system. And so many people want to hide away from that experience because it hurts. And instead of, like, looking at themselves, they just continue to point blame at the world and play the victim. And I'm not going to say that I haven't done that, because I have. Like, I have been the victim. I have been that it's your fault. It's your fault. It's your fault. It's your fault. Until one day I was like, it's my fault. And, like, if I'm going to change, and you know what? honestly, like, I feel like people do have to repeat patterns in their life over and over again and have the same experiences, maybe in different situations or with different people, to realize that it's not actually the outside world, that it's them. And so, you know, a lot of people are still walking that journey and trying to figure that out. But going through that process is painful, but it's so relieving. It's so healing, and just, it makes you grow. It really forces you to grow and recognize, like, who you want to be and what you want to stand for and what kind of ideals you want to embody, and then share that with the world.
I love that you said that, because it's so true. It is a hard journey to go on. It is so hard to actually look at yourself and take responsibility. So many people don't take responsibility, don't say sorry even. So, like, to actually look at yourself and be like, fuck, like, I'm the reason for this shitty experience right now. So clearly, like, it's hard. It's really hard. And yeah, but it's transformative when you actually do that and you actually look at yourself. And I think this is a great segue into what I wanted to chat with you today about, which was clarity readings, because I think clarity readings is really looking at your soul in its, like, rawest form, right? You're looking at your trauma, your limiting beliefs, and it's a really, like, the readings can get really, 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 really deep, right? And I do want to, like, obviously say that spirit will only give you what you need and what you can handle in that moment, what you need to hear. But the readings are so different compared to, like, a reading. I think the stereotypical reading, and I had this view as well with psychics, is that you're going to go to them, they're going to tell you what to expect and they're going to predict what to expect in the future or the next 3 months or the next year or so, right? And that's just always been people's view of readings. But this is just so different. This is like a real deep dive into the soul and how your guides want to put you on your path of purpose. So, Emily, I was wondering if you could explain a bit about what a clarity reading actually looks like, the ones that we do.
Yeah, absolutely. So with clarity readings, now, some people are familiar with the chakra system, some people aren't. But just to give kind of like a brief description of that, the chakra system there's many, you have a ton of them all over your body, but there are 7 major ones that kind of go right from the top of your head all the way down to, like, your lower back pelvis area. And each one has their own qualities. They each govern, like, a specific area of your life, different emotions, even different organs within your body that can be affected by these chakras. But essentially, a clarity reading is looking into these different chakras and seeing, being able to pull the information and being able to see blocks or even past traumas that still need to be healed in the person. It's not really about looking into the future. It's really not about that. It's, you know, point blank, it's about healing. It's about looking within yourself as you are right now and seeing, like, why do I have these limiting beliefs? Why do I feel like I can't get that? Why do I have all this self-doubt and these negative feelings towards myself? You know, or maybe there's something that you're even closing off, a part of yourself that you're not facing. And we can see that. We can see that looking into the chakras through meditation. It's like an energetic connection, being able to see that energy and be able to see your soul, essentially. But a clarity reading is looking deeper into each of those areas of your life and just recognizing, like, what you're still holding on to that you can let go of, what traumas need to be healed within you, and bringing that stuff to the surface. So the person can, A, recognize that what we're doing is valid. Like, they can see that we're actually seeing them for who they are and for what they've been through. But B, it's kind of refreshing, and it's like a breakthrough for them, because they're like, a lot of the stuff they know that they're suffering with, but some of it they don't. And when they realize that they're suffering through this block or this trauma, it's just kind of like, wow, like, I didn't even think about that at all. And it's kind of giving them insight and direction on how we can start clearing those areas of their life to manifest a better life for themselves, to get them
back in alignment with who they truly are and what their true essence is. And it's not about forcing them like onto a path and like a very structured religious view. That's not what it's about. It's about living in your truest self, in your highest self, who you truly are, and connecting to that. When you are connecting to that part of yourself and you're living in your essence and who you truly are, everything tends to fall into place after that. And it doesn't mean that there's not going to be any bad periods, but it's like when you're on your own path and you know who you are and you're living that, like everything that you've ever wanted or desired gravitates towards you because it's what was always meant for you. That's why you always wanted it, but you were never in the right state of mind, or, you know, you took a detour this way, or you were suffering this and not facing this. That's why you couldn't get it before. And it's almost like unlocking that door. It's like unlocking that door and allowing them to live their life to the fullest.
That's a beautiful explanation. I love that. That's the perfect way to describe it. And also, just for reference for the listeners, if you want to dive deeper into what the actual chakras are, I did do an episode. I can't remember which one, but if you scroll back, I went through actually what chakras are. So you can go through them, learn what they are, but that's essentially what we are reading. And I love that you said that. And exactly right. It is to put you on your path of purpose. I think another misconception people have when they think about psychic readings is that they are connecting to ancestors, like actual past loved ones. And that's not always the case. I mean, some people really do resonate with mediumship and they can really connect to that. But what we connect to is so much, it's different. It's like higher dimensional beings. I'd love for you to chat on that, Emily, as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So that is a big misconception. A lot of people do think that when we're connecting something, we're connecting to their past brother or loved one. And it's sometimes we can do that, you know, we can definitely call that energy forward. Or if those people are surrounding you energetically, we can see them, we can hear them, but that's not what it's about. And that happens less often than people would think. What we're really trying to connect to when we do these readings is your highest self. So your soul, essentially, you know, point blank. But kind of like your soul's friends, your spirit guides, any angels that might be helping to push you or coax you along your path. And there's even some different types of spirit guides, like fairies, which a lot of people might think is a little bit woo woo, but I know because I connect very much to fairies. it's higher dimensional beings. It's not just people who have passed on. And again, that is possible. We can do that, but it's more so kind of like your soul's cheerleading team. And they're like, hey, like we're here to guide you. We're here to help clear up all this negative energy that you're holding on to. Let us tell you how we can do that.
That is exactly right. That is such a good definition of them. And exactly, there could be so many different versions of a spirit, like your spirit team on the other side. Like Emily connects really deeply to fairies, and so do I. Like when I was younger, I loved fairies so, so, so much. Even when I was an adult, like my sign from the universe is to see a fairy, like in any sense. I'd be like, show me a fairy, and then I'm on the right direction. We actually have a past life together as a fairy, which is really, really cool. But yeah, it's really awesome. But for me, I connect deeply to extraterrestrials, so aliens, right? They come through really strongly. My guides are extraterrestrials. So like that is something that I can really pull forward when I'm reading somebody's soul, if their soul is also highly affiliated with like extraterrestrial type beings. So really, it's this, these higher dimensional beings that work with you on the other side. And this is what we talk about when we say spirit guides, right? We have these beings around us and they want to help guide you. You aren't in this alone. And often I think humans can kind of isolate themselves and feel like, oh my God, it's just something I have to deal with all on my own and no one else is experiencing this in the universe. I have no help. And it's like, you genuinely do. Seriously, put the intention out there. Ask your guides for help, and I promise you, guaranteed, they are going to come in and they are going to help you. They're going to show you the way out or show you the way through the situation. It's insane.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's really like magic, you know? And there's a lot of people that challenge that idea, and, you know, when they hear the term spirit guides, they get uncomfortable. And it's like, my question is, are you challenging it because, like, you just genuinely don't believe it, or because you're really afraid of the possibility that something so much bigger than you can exist and like is actually out there. And the fact that it's inherently good and it's there out of a place of love and meant to hold you and support you and guide you throughout this lifetime. I can tell you, like, I used to, this is my phrase. So I used to write a lot of poetry, and in my poems, I would talk about missing home and wishing I was home and looking for big hands to support me and carry me, because I felt so vulnerable and so alone. Like, I didn't have a safety net and I didn't have just that feeling of security. And I looked for these big hands in different men. I tried to find men that I would be able to like put my trust in and invest myself in and know that I was supportive and taken care of by them. And it wasn't until I found this work. Like, when I found this work is when I really had that deep connection with myself, my guides, spirit, source, God, consciousness, whatever you want to call it. It's the same exact thing. And that's when I realized I've had big hands this whole time. It's y'all. You, my guides, source, like, y'all have been here this whole time. And when I discovered this work was when I felt like that genuine connection, that like the safety of the big hands. I felt home. I felt like I was at home. And it's so crazy that you can have such a deep connection just sitting with your eyes closed in a room by yourself.
Yeah.
But you really can. And it's just so magical. It's amazing. And it's so reassuring. There's such a great sense of relief once you open up your mind to the possibility that all this exists and then trying to explore it. So for anybody who challenges that, my dare to you would be, if you want to disprove this, then try to go down the path. And if you don't find anything, okay, but try to go down the path and you just see what happens. See what happens when you come out the other side.
Once you dive deep, you just, there's no looking back. Like, once you actually see how true this all is, you're like, fuck, I cannot look at, I can't even pretend like this doesn't exist anymore. I can't go through my life pretending this isn't real. Like, even my best friend, she became spiritual after I kind of came out of the closet. She had her spiritual awakening. She started to meditate, connect to her guides. And it was just like really like awesome experience to have her going through it as well. And I remember through her journey, like, now she's just gone through a period where she had to really just kind of be in the physical world. So she stopped meditating and she is in this like really like kind of busy period of her life. And she ended up booking in this reading with somebody that she did like ages ago. Anyway, so she goes and sees this person. And this person was like to her, like, your guides are pissed at you. You haven't been back to see them. You haven't like, they want you to like connect again. And it's just so funny because you can't like, once you've opened that door, you just, it's like she can feel like the pressure of her guides saying, you haven't meditated. You haven't connected with us. Like, what's happening? You've got to slow down your body again. It's just really nice to have that support system. And I love everything that you said about the poetry and the big hand supporting you, because I feel like that was what I was looking for as well. And that's just something I think we all search for. We all search for belonging. We all want to feel like we're a part of something more important and greater. And it's so beautiful to then surrender to this world and be like, wow, I can fall back on this and I can be supported by my guides and the universe. And I think that's why I'm so attracted to this world as well, because it's so unique and it's so different to everyone. My experiences differ from Emily's. The way that I interact with this world is so different to the way Emily would interact with this world. Like, there are similarities, of course, and that's what's mind-blowing, right? We can literally go on a regression together and we're experiencing the same thing at the same time, which is just so powerful. But I it's just so beautiful that it can be so individual and exactly what you need as an individual person. There are literally no rules. And I also love, sorry, there were so many like gems that you just said there. I love that you mentioned that you are connecting to loving beings. I think that's another misconception. People, like, especially mainstream religion, they have demonized this world and made it seem like it's like awful to connect to the side and you're connecting to demons. I cannot tell you how many people have literally messaged me saying, oh my God, I'm worried for your soul. You're connecting to demons. Let me show you the light. And I'm like, oh my God, just fuck off. Fuck off.
The fact of the matter is when you really look at religion, all of the religions from above, all of them are saying the exact same thing. The only time religion changes is when you get down into the nitty gritty and then people start making rules for it. And then people spend so much time focusing on the rules of the religion that they miss the entire purpose, which is to connect to your spirit, to your soul from a place of love. And then not only from a place of love, but from a place of being able to understand others, to have compassion for others, and therefore be able to like forgive yourself and forgive others and relieve, you know, the burdens that you have carried with you throughout your entire life, lifetimes, like past lives. But it really does come down to looking at it all from far away. It's all the exact same thing. It's all pointing in the exact same direction. Just love.
Absolutely.
Love, be compassionate, be understanding. The
exactly.
End.
Yeah. It's true. And it's exactly right. It's like a cultural thing that has been put on mainstream religion. And that's kind of what makes them seem so different in a way, yet, but they're actually just so, so, so similar. I've told this story on the podcast before, but I grew up Muslim. So my mum was Muslim. My dad was Muslim. I grew up in a Muslim household. I went to a Muslim primary school. And then my mum left my dad. So then I ended up like growing up Christian, sort of like learning their sort of ideals and ideologies and all of that. And I went to a Christian high school and I was really given free rein with religion. I could just explore whatever the fuck I wanted, right? So I like got to celebrate all the Turkish traditions or the Muslim, I don't even know what the traditions are because I'm that bad. But yeah, like Bayram and all of that, right? But then like, and I got to do Christmas and Easter and all of that as well. And my mum would participate. It was just this big thing, right? So I always got to see the polarity between those two mainstream ones, that is. And then when I got to high school and I entered religious studies, I was coming in it from a point of view of like, this is interesting. I just want to learn about the different cultures out there. Again, I was looking for a sense of belonging. I'm like, I love the magical side of life. I'm going to connect to one of these like religions, like something's going to speak out to me. Right. So I started to like study Buddhism, Hinduism, like just went down this path and I was like, shit, like you're all saying the same thing. And yet it's created so much division and so much hate and there's so many rules and regulations and it's just, it becomes overwhelming. And then I just kind of pushed it away altogether. And I was like, no, thank you. I don't want to be a part of any of it. No, thanks. And yeah, I ended up pushing away spirituality altogether. So I guess like you can connect is what I'm trying to get out of this story. You can connect to the other side and it can be on your terms. There are literally no rules. As long as you specify that you want to connect to pure love and pure light, then that is fine. You just call in those beings because there is good and bad in everything. There is literally, there's good and bad in the world, right? And at the end of the day, we all come from one source. We all come from love. And the bad is here to teach us lessons to then put us onto the path of good. And maybe some people come here to live a life that is considered negative in our eyes, right? Maybe their soul came here to learn that lesson for a reason. The picture is just so, so, so big and beyond our human understanding. So in saying that, do you have any suggestions on how the listeners could actually begin to connect to their guides, right? Because you're so tapped in with your guides and you just go on like all these insane journeys with them. It's so, so, so cool, your connection to your spirit team. So I would love for you to maybe give us some tips or the listeners some tips on how they can actually start to do the same as well, because everyone can do this.
Yes, absolutely. So I would probably give a couple of different tips for different types of people. But one thing that I think everybody could benefit from in connecting to this side of themselves and to this world is hands down meditation. Like I 100% agree that meditation can take you places that you never expected it to. And meditation is a mindfulness practice. It's really about bringing you into the here and now, into the present moment. What you said earlier, slowing your body down. I loved that you said that it really is like slowing life down and slowing your body down and being able to just kind of observe and appreciate each moment for what it truly is. But beyond that, you know, it is a mindfulness practice, but in doing meditation, you tend to accidentally get deeper into it as you're doing it. And that's when you usually come across your spirit guides and your angelic beings and fairies and guardians and animals that are there with you and helping to coax and push you onto your path and onto who you truly are. And so you can embody that person. I would also suggest, especially for the imaginative people, because that's where my gift lies, is I'm very clairvoyant, which essentially means that I see a lot of visuals when I communicate with my spirit guides and my angelic beings. They show me a lot of pictures. But the reason that that is my strength is because throughout my entire life, I've always been a very imaginative person. I've always been really big into creative writing and fictional books and reading and movies. Like, I've opened up that side of myself. And I know a lot of people are like that. So it really comes down to trusting yourself. Go into the meditation, definitely practice for like a week on just straight mindfulness. And then maybe, you know, a week, 2 weeks go by, go into the meditation with the intention of trying to connect to your spirit guide. And, you know, definitely set the intention of love, light. You want to connect to love, to light. And what I like to do, Shuli does, we do this in our soul teacher class, is imagine ourselves in a place of nature. That can be a real place or an imaginative place, something that you make up. But that tends to be where we come across our spirit guides, is when we wind up in that kind of trance-like state, in that really peaceful place of nature, and then we call their energy forward. And some people can see their spirit guides. Some people feel them more so, and some people hear them. They can hear like a voice or different thoughts that come into their head that have a little bit of a different tone than what they're used to hearing in their own head. And trust yourself. Trust what you're getting. That's one of the biggest things with this work, is to be able to trust yourself and know that you're not crazy and that you're not making it up. This entire life, our society has built us up in this very rigid, logical structure. And it allows so little room for freedom, for imagination, for creativity. And I can see that us as, you know, humanity, we're trying to change that. We're trying to move in a different direction. But we're taught, you know, to not use our imagination so much and not use our heart, but instead just use our brain and everything that we're taught in school. And it's like, you really get the deepest connection with yourself by allowing your imagination to kind of run wild and just trusting it, like trusting what you're seeing is true. And as long as you trust yourself, you will continue to see even greater things on this path. But meditation, that's the number one thing, meditate.
Yes. I love that you said meditation, because it's like a running joke on this podcast that I just imagine the listeners like clicking off every single time they see you have to meditate, because they're like, fuck off. people struggle with meditating. So I laugh about it. It's like the number one question I get. How do you meditate? And there's no magic formula. You literally just have to sit down and do it. And it's the practice of sitting there with yourself and doing it. But that is how you do this, because you need to quiet the outside world. You need to slow down the body to actually be still in this moment. And then you will start to pick up on these subtle energy shifts. You'll start, spirit is really subtle. Like, you have to really, really, really pay attention to start to pick up when they come through. Sometimes it can obviously be quite dramatic, but a lot of the time it's very subtle, and spirit comes in your own voice. So for me, like, Emily is really, really visual, and I loved all the tips that you provided, Em. That was just really, really helpful. And for me, like, I'm not a visual person, and a lot of people aren't visual as well. So they think they have to, like, they're trying so hard to see. And it's like, no, like, how do you actually receive the information? So you have to, like, for me, I had to learn, okay, how do I receive it? And for me, it's like a feeling. And I forget which Claire that is, but I feel into it. Like, I can feel it in my body. Sometimes I'll take on the actual mannerisms of the person that I'm reading. And then I'll realize, I'm like, wait, this isn't what I do. And I realize that that's what they do, right? And it's just so different. Sometimes it comes in like audio, and sometimes it's just like a knowing, right? It's so different with how you actually get the messages. And it's all about trusting yourself, trusting that you are getting the correct guidance. And the best advice, I guess, if I could add on to what Emily was saying as well, if you're getting a message from spirit and you feel like this wasn't you and you feel like this was a message from higher up and you feel like it's something more, first of all, that's your sign that it was something more. And second of all, take that guidance, see where it takes you. Does it guide you in the right direction? Because I guarantee you that it will. Even if it meant that something kind of what negative in quotation marks happened from that, did it teach you a lesson? And now are you able to then, you know, take the next step in the direction that you wanted to take? Like, you are always going to be guided in the best way possible for you to get you into your path of purpose. So yeah, it's just so, so, so powerful to do. And you know what, like if we go back to the clarity readings, like yes, you can do it on your own, but it's a lot harder to get messages for yourself. Even like being a reader, right? It is harder to connect to my guides. And no, it's not harder to connect to them. It's harder to connect to them to get messages for me. But if I connect to them to get messages for other people, it's like, can do it, no problems asked. It's so easy. But people, we get too involved when it's ourselves. Our egos are too involved in the outcome and the answers. And that's when I like to actually reach out for support. So, you know, I'd reach out to like Emily and be like, I need help right now. Could you please like read my energetic body, connect to my guides and get the answers that I need to get in order to move forward in this section, because it can be harder. And that's why clarity readings can be so good as well to have at your disposal. So yes, you can do it alone. And then you can have this as a resource if you really need some sort of guidance in some direction.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I do agree with that. I do find it harder to read myself. And it's more so, it's harder to read yourself because though we are, you know, really working to try to evolve the spiritual side of ourselves and really connect to it and hear the difference between spirit versus our ego, that can be difficult. Because, you know, as Shirley was saying, spirit is subtle. It's very subtle. And, you have to slow your body down. You have to slow your mind down and really sit in that stillness in order to feel, or hear or see those different messages, because it is light like a feather, you know, versus our ego, which is very loud and very obnoxious. And it tends to take over our mind if we let it. And so when we're doing readings on ourselves, you know, we're still learning to distinguish the difference between those two voices and those two feelings, because your ego can look like your intuition. It can disguise yourself as your intuition, but it's not, you know, and it's not about completely killing the ego, because you do need it. It's kind of like a tool that you can use in your life, but it shouldn't be in the driver's seat. It should be in the, you know, maybe in the back seat, back passenger side. Okay. Uber style. Yeah. And what we're trying to do is put spirit in the driver's seat, and knowing that spirit is spirit, but it's you as well. It's your soul. It's your highest self. It's all connected. It's all the same thing. And then being able to trust that, because your highest self, your soul, your true heart's path, it will never lead you in the wrong direction. It's always going to lead you to where you're supposed to go. Even if it only shows you one step at a time, and even if you have to make painful separations, you know, that's part of the healing process. Like we said earlier, it's hard. Going down this path is hard work, because there is old shin skidding. There's people that you're going to have to leave behind. There's bridges that are going to be burned, and you know, and it's painful, but it's part of the process, and the reward is so worth it. Like that feeling of wholeness and just fulfillment within yourself is so worth it. So meditation, yes. And I know meditation, a lot of people struggle with. So I know sometimes a good idea is if you like to like run, like maybe like jog, and that helps you kind of zone out. Some people like to ride bikes or paint, or I want to say read, but like maybe paint or even writing. That can all be very helpful in trying to get your mind into a place of like stillness and just being in that present moment.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What a beautiful note to end on. So what Emily and I wanted to do, well, what Emily was going to do for us, was she was going to do a collective reading for us. And I'm so excited for this, because she's such a talented reader. So you guys are in for a treat. So we thought what we would do, she's actually going to use cards for this, obviously, because she doesn't have a person right in front of her that she can just connect to their energy. So this is going to be a collective reading. We're going to call upon our guides of pure love and light to get these messages for you. And we're going to have three groups. So we're going to do three, right, Emily?
Yes. Yeah. I can do three different cards or sections. Sometimes it's never one card. Sometimes they like to come up with two or three for me, but that's okay. So we'll do three sections.
Okay. So we'll do the three sections. And what I'll do is I'll guide us through a little meditation practice as Emily is getting prepared and pulling the cards and really connecting to the deck. So with the three sections, I want you to feel into what group is calling you the most. Is it group one? Is it group two or group three? So before you can do that, because you don't want to make the decision from your mind and your ego, because then it won't be the right deck for you or the right group for you. What we're going to do is I'll guide a little grounding meditation first to help you connect to what the answer will be for you as Emily connects. So what I will get you to do is really, if you're not driving, of course, if you're not doing anything that requires your attention, just take a moment to take a seat and really, really feel into your breath. I would invite you to close your eyes and just take three deep breaths in. So in through the nose and out through the mouth. We'll do that again, in through the nose and out through the mouth. Again, just in through the nose and out through the mouth. Really allowing yourself to sink into this moment. Feel into what it feels like to be in your body. Feel into what it feels like to breathe, to connect to that life force within you. Now, what I want you to do is just put the ego aside. So literally imagine yourself walking out of your ego and stepping into your most highest and aligned self. And you're going to step into this version of yourself and you are going to make the decision from this place. So as you are grounding into your body and feeling what it feels like to be in your body, I want you to bring up groups one, group two, and group three. They're all going to be in a line in front of you. So I want you to picture group one coming forward. It can literally look however you want it to look. You know, you can just feel into what the energy feels like. You don't even have to picture something if you're not a visual person. But yeah, just picture, it could be like balls of light, right? Could be as simple as balls of light. Picture group one stepping forward and standing in front of you. How does that make you feel? Does that make you feel excited? Does that make you feel like you want to lean? You're like feeling drawn towards that? Or are you feeling like you're going to you kind of want to pull away? Your body will guide you on what's right. Feel into what that feels like. If you're being pulled towards that, then that is for you. That's the group you need to choose. If you're being kind of pulled away from that, your body will like contract inwards almost and be like, or you might not even just feel anything. Maybe it's just like a numb feeling. And that means that it's not for you. So now you can put group back into a group one back into the line. And now I want you to picture group two coming forward. How does it feel to actually feel into group two? Analyze the sensations in your body. Are you getting goosebumps? Are you getting butterflies in your stomach? How does that feel for you? Now, once you've done that, you can put group two back into the line and now call group three forward. How does group three feel? Again, analyzing those feelings. Are you feeling pulled towards it? Or are you feeling like you're kind of like pushing back from it? Let those feelings guide you. Your body is so intuitive and it knows exactly what you need to be drawn towards. This is a really good way to make decisions in life as well, because your body will hold all of the right answers. So now that you've done that, you can put group three back into the line. And once you've made your decision, you can open your eyes and we'll continue with the rest of the reading.
All right. So in group one, we got, I'm using my Nightmare Before Christmas tarot deck. But group one, we got the Queen of Candles. And just to kind of feel into the energy of the card first, I do like to reference the book because depending on the different decks, sometimes the different cards can have different meanings. But I do like to feel into the energy of the picture just to see what I'm picking up here. And it definitely does feel to me like I do feel a little bit of bitterness. It feels to me like whatever you're asking about or the situation that you might be focusing on or that's affecting you right now, it seems to me that they're telling you to look within and make sure that you're approaching the situation from a place of the heart, from a place of understanding, of love and compassion. Because what I'm feeling is that maybe you're in a frame of mind where you might be pointing a finger or maybe even being a little bit stubborn and not wanting to, not necessarily not resolve the situation, but not wanting to maybe forgive the other side of it, whether it be a person or a job or an issue at work. But it's asking you to really look within and just make sure that you're not holding on to any unnecessary bitterness, because there is a silver lining in this situation. There is a light, there is a positive side to it. But in order for you to see it, you really kind of have to face yourself. Maybe play the mirror game with yourself. So whatever is bothering you in this situation, ask yourself, have I done that before? Have I done that? Have I acted upon this? And, you know, this thing that I'm, you know, focusing on or might be upset about, have I myself done that in another situation? And that kind of helps to just make you realize, like, we're all humans, we're all walking similar paths, and we all have these qualities within us. And that'll, I think, help soften you a little bit in this situation. So that way you can understand maybe why the other side turned out the way it did or acted the way they did. And then being able to then see the situation in a better place, a place of light, a place of love. Because it just feels like there's bitterness there. And while it's probably for good reason and justified, that's not how you want to hold on to the situation or rememberment. That's only going to do you harm. So just make sure that you're reflecting and seeing what you may have done to contribute to it and how we can reframe it and look at it in a more positive light, because there is a positive side to it. And then we'll go ahead and dive into card two. Yeah.
Yeah. That was beautiful. Thanks.
Okay. Perfect. So we got the 10 of candles for card two. Oh, the first one, by the way, if you guys are curious, is the Queen of Candles, which is essentially the Queen of Wands if you do more traditional tarot. And again, I usually pull my messages directly off of the card pictures, but if you want to look up the card, and see if that might resonate with you a little bit more, that's the energy I was getting off of the card itself. And then looking into the 10 of candles, I'm actually feeling the need to open my book for this one. Just a second. Ta-da! Here I am. The professional card reader still using her books.
No, sometimes you
need
to. You
can always use your books, guys.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm just going to read it straight from the book, and then I'm going to tell you what I'm feeling off of it. So again, 10 of candles. Sometimes big responsibilities come with big accomplishments. You're succeeding, and that's great. However, this means it is time for you to work even harder. If you're feeling burdened or overwhelmed, embrace a leadership role and assign some of the workload to others. You do not have to do it all by yourself. And, you know, that really echoes what I'm feeling off of the card. And I know y'all can't see it, but it is a candelabra with 10 candles in it, and each one is lit. But the flames on the cards look so small and like they're diminishing and just dying. And I'm really feeling energy of wearing yourself too thin and wearing yourself out and overworking yourself. So it really is about like, yes, you can do this and you've achieved great things and you really have come so far in this area of your life, but make sure that you are taking the time to take care of yourself and that it is okay for you to not be able to do everything. Matter of fact, it's better for you to ask for help or delegate some of these tasks, or different things that you're trying to accomplish, instead of taking it all on, because you trying to do everything all by yourself is going to burn you out. That's a guarantee. That's going to happen. And so in order to avoid that, it's kind of about softening yourself and stepping into a place of being humble and just recognizing like you can't do it all on your own and it's okay to ask for help. And in fact, you will find that you have a bigger support system in doing that, and you'll end up getting more done. So just go easy on yourself, guys. Like, you don't have to do it all yourself.
That was literally for me. That was the one that I chose. That was literally, I really? Just want to validate you. Yes. I was like, is she talking straight to myself right now? Because I genuinely was sitting there like arguing with my ego. And I was like, I have so much to do and I want so bad to ask for help, but I feel bad. And I'm like, I should be doing it all on my own. Who am I to be like, you know, hiring help to like maybe edit some of these podcast episodes? Because right now, like, I am doing a lot, like getting my offer out there and all of this stuff. So I feel like you were just speaking straight to my soul there. So that really, really resonated with
me. That's what I do. I speak to the soul. And then in group three, we got the sun. And the sun is actually the best card in tarot. However, this card is reversed. So just generally speaking, the sun, when you usually get that in a tarot reading, it's like the ultimate positivity card. It's like, yes, like everything is going so well. It's all grand, like woohoo, you're on the right path, like safe and sound, like, yeah. But when it comes up to me reversed, what I really pay attention to is the pictures. And again, I wish you guys could see the pictures, but just to describe the image of this card to you, it's Jack Skellington, if y'all are familiar with Nightmare Before Christmas, and he's holding up a set of Christmas lights like he was when he went to Christmas Town, and he's like burning them with his eyes. Like the lights are like in his eyeballs, and it's literally like making my eyes hurt. And like what I'm feeling from it is like everything might seem very peachy keen right now, and on the surface it might look like everything is good and smiling and happy, and like you're exactly where you should be. But I do feel like there is some introspective work that can be done here to make sure that you're not being blinded by a false reality. I don't mean that to sound so cryptic, but it's like we set these goals for ourselves and then we achieve the goal and we're like, yeah, I did it. This is what I wanted to do. I'm so proud. Like, this is what I want to do. This is what I should be doing. But something about what you're doing or where you're at might not quite feel as satisfying as you thought it was, or it all of a sudden just feels like a little bit off or not quite right. And I feel like you're forcing a smile and you're like, yeah, like this is where I'm supposed to be. This is what I work so hard for. But like something on the inside is telling you like, this is not it. This is not where you should be. And make sure that you're not being blinded again by a false reality, by something that's not truly who you are and is not actually benefiting you. It might be benefiting you on paper, but it's not making you feel fulfilled. It's not making you feel like whole and like where you should be. So trust yourself, look a little bit deeper. And I do get an essence here. This sounds very specific, but I feel like this is related to a lot of you guys for work, like maybe a promotion or a new job. But I do feel also that some of the coworkers might be fake friendly or like be putting on a face or like a persona to make you comfortable with them. But in the back of their minds, there's a lot of judgment going on or micromanaging. It just doesn't feel like a safe, genuinely happy environment. So just look within and make sure you're living for yourself and like you're doing what's best for you, and not just because you work so hard for it, you feel like you have to do it, and not because other people are telling you to. Like, this is your life. You have to live it. These are your decisions. So just make sure you're doing what's best for you and you're doing it from a place of love.
That's so beautiful, Em. Thank you so much for that. They were so detailed and so specific. So I hope the listeners enjoy that. I'm sure that they will. I'm sure that it will resonate. Like mine resonated so, 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 so much. Like I said, I thought you were speaking to my soul, and she's seriously the most incredible reader. You have such a gift. So thank you for doing that for us today. So I would love, before you leave, to tell the listeners where they can actually connect with you, where can they get a reading from you?
Yes, yes. Come find me, you guys. I am on social media, on Facebook and Instagram. You can find me on Instagram through the_disconnected_pixie. And I will be publishing my website on there. So you'll be able to see that in my About Me here shortly once it comes out. But until then, feel free to just direct message me. If you're interested in a reading or a healing, I can give you all the details on my Instagram. And my Facebook is Emily McMillan, McMillan. Same thing. You can go ahead and find me on Facebook, just direct message me, and I'll be happy to schedule something with you. I'm really looking forward to it.
Thank you so much, Em, again. It was so fun having this chat with you, diving deep into this world with you. You're incredible. So thank you. I hope that you have a lovely night.
Thank you for having me. It was so much fun, and I'm very excited to see where this will take you and hopefully me as well. But thank you again for having me, and you enjoy the rest of your day.
If you enjoyed today's episode and you feel inspired to rate and review the podcast in iTunes, it would mean the world to me. Also, if you are wanting to connect with me on a more intimate platform, you can find me on Instagram at Closeted Soul. I would love to hear from you. Finally, you can learn a little bit more about me and this space just by visiting my website at www.closetedsoul.com.